A Jewish Journal article. Have you ever heard of the Farhud? Warning. The following contains graphic imagery and language. Last week, I conducted an informal survey. I asked 5 Ashkenazi friends and 5 Iranian Jewish friends in Los Angeles if they had heard of Kristallnacht, the anti-Semitic pogrom that occurred in Germany in 1938. All of them said yes. I then asked if they had heard of the Farhud, a deadly pogrom against Iraqi Jews during June 1-2, 1941, in which hundreds were murdered and raped. Out of 10 friends in Los Angeles, 9 of them had not heard of the Farhud. And then, a strange thing happened. I asked 10 friends in Israel if they had ever heard of the Farhud, given that hundreds of thousands of Israelis have grandparents or great-grandparents of Iraqi Jewish descent. 9 of them also responded that they didn't know what it was. I'm not an Iraqi Jew. I'm a neighboring cousin from Iran. But as of the 81st anniversary of the Farhud last week, I'm on a mission to expose as many Jews and non-Jews to the atrocities that were committed against this once vibrant community as a result of a heinous combination of Muslim anti-Semitism and Nazi propaganda. The Farhud, pogrom, in Arabic, occurred in Baghdad during the Jewish holiday of Shavuot. Muslim Iraqi mobs screamed, "Qutl al-Yuhud," slaughter the Jews, and butchered nearly 200 Jews. Some estimate that number is closer to 1,000. Hundreds were raped. Over 1,000 were injured and over 900 homes were destroyed. The Farhud was the closest Iraqi Jews came to experiencing their own mini-version of a genocide. One thing is certain. Jews who survived the Farhud were traumatized for the rest of their lives. Shortly before the Farhud, assailants had compiled a list of Jewish homes and businesses. Jewish leaders begged local authorities for mercy, but to no avail. Jews were beheaded. Jewish babies were slaughtered. Some Jewish family threw their babies over rooftops, hoping they would be caught in blankets below to save them. Murderers waved severed limbs and other body parts, including in one case, the breast of a young Jewish woman, who had been raped. Perpetrators raped Jewish girls at a local school. 6 girls were actually abducted to a village 9 miles away. Learning about the Farhud is not for those with weak stomachs. But here are some key facts about this dark moment in the history of Middle Eastern Jewry that everyone should know. Nazism found an enthusiastic partner in Arab nationalism. The Middle East and North Africa were an enormous hub of Nazi activity, and that included actual SS boots on the ground, particularly as far as Nazi masterminds who collaborated with Egyptian leaders were concerned. Many of us have seen the infamous 1941 photo of Palestinian leader Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Mufti of Jerusalem, in conversation with Adolf Hitler. Hundreds of Libyan Jews starved to death in Italian-controlled Libya during the Holocaust. Most Jews in Cyrenaica were sent to the Jado concentration camp, 250 kilometers south of Tripoli. Hundreds were sent to camps in Europe. The Nazis had a long-term strategy for the Middle East, and that included propagandizing Berlin as a friend of downtrodden Muslims everywhere. If they could successfully align with fanatics in the region, Nazi leaders surmised, they might convince jihadists to actually fight Germany's enemies, beyond Jews. Before the Farhud, the Nazis began to broadcast Radio Berlin in Arabic throughout the Arab and Muslim world. Hitler's Mein Kampf was not only translated into Arabic, but printed in a local Baghdad newspaper, thanks to Fritz Grobe, Germany's charge d'affaires in Baghdad. In 1933, he bought Al-Alam al-Arabi, a Christian Iraqi paper, and published Arabic translations of Mein Kampf in installments. Whereas the Nazis had Hitler Youth, Hitlerjugend, Iraq created the Fatwa, a pre-military youth movement that was active in the 1930s and 1940s. These youth attended the Nazi rally in Nuremberg in 1938. When they returned home, they popularized a chant in Arabic, "Long live Hitler, the killer of insects and Jews." For further information on Nazi activity in the Middle East, I recommend reading Nazis, Islamists, and the Making of the Modern Middle East by Barry Rubin and Wolfgang G. Schwanitz, Yale University Press, 2014. Where there's anti-Zionism, Jews will always be killed. I'm particularly fascinated by one aspect of the Farhud that's worth sharing. In 1941, 7 years before the establishment of the modern state of Israel, which anti-Semites continue to use as justification for isolating, defaming and attacking Jews today, Muslim Iraqis who led the pogroms accused Iraqi Jews of being Zionist sympathizers in the conflict between Jews and Arabs in then-mandatory Palestine. They also accused Iraqi Jews of working with the British in colonizing Iraq. Does any of this sound familiar? I'm reminded of post-revolutionary Iran, 1979 today, whose regime identifies Zionism as a capital offense. Maybe that's why every few months, there's a story about a Jewish leader in Iran denouncing Israel publicly or, proudly, attending an anti-Israel rally. Here's the worst part about Iraq's history of violent anti-Semitism today. Whereas other Arab countries, including the former behemoth of Arab nationalism, Egypt, have made peace with Israel, 2 weeks ago, Iraq's parliament passed a law criminalizing relations with the Zionist entity. Anyone who violates this new law, including businessmen, faces life imprisonment or even the death sentence. The government said it was only reflecting the will of the people. Hundreds gathered in Tahrir Square. Yes, it shares its name with the famous Tahrir Square from Egypt's 2011 revolution, in central Baghdad, to celebrate the passing of the law. How's that? For progress 81 years after the country shamefully allowed for the mass slaughter of its ancient Jewish population in Baghdad? Even the regime in Iran had the decency to criminalize Zionism over 40 years ago, rather than today. For the last time, Jews are not white. I can nearly guarantee that certain American celebrities who believe that the Holocaust was a white-on-white crime don't know that Nazism spread its hideous tentacles throughout the Middle East. I've also never believed that Jews are white. If that's the case, why are we the target of white supremacists? But I challenge anyone who weaponizes race against Jews by calling us white and privileged to see photos of brown-skinned Iraqi Jews running out of their destroyed homes in 1941 and screaming in horror, and to tell me that these Jews are white, or privileged. And then, there's the deeply offensive and untruthful argument that Israel ethnically cleanses Palestinians. Do you know which once thriving Jewish population was actually driven out, completely, from the Arab Middle East? Iraqi Jews. And if you want to get technical, Libyan Jews, and Syrian Jews, and Yemenite Jews, 3 to 5 Jews remain in Iraq, from a former population of over 135,000 before the Farhud, including 90,000 who lived in Baghdad. 40 or so Jews remain in Syria, while 6 Jews are still in Yemen. These are estimates and some of the numbers might actually be smaller. Not a single Jew remains in Libya. I'm not a mathematician, but something about that reeks of ethnic cleansing. Anyone who knows even minimally about Jewish history knows that modern-day Iraq was one of the most important epicenters of Jewish learning. The Babylonian Talmud was completed there, and Jews have had a continuous presence in the region since they were brought there as captives after the Babylonians conquered the kingdom of Judea in the 6th century BCE. That means that for nearly 3,000 years, Jews lived in present-day Iraq. Again, only 3 to 5 Jews remain there today. The Farhud not only marked the beginning of a mass exodus of Iraqi Jews from the country, but tragically, it also marked the end of an ancient Jewish community. I shouldn't have been surprised that my Israeli friends had not heard of the Farhud. A recent poll found that half of Israelis that were polled knew about Kristallnacht. Only 7% had ever heard of the Farhud. That, in itself, is another tragedy. For more information on the Farhud, read Edwin Black's The Farhud, Roots of the Arab-Nazi Alliance in the Holocaust, Dialogue Press, 2010. Tabby Raphael is a Los Angeles-based writer, speaker, and civic action activist. Follow her on Twitter at Tabby Raphael.